How you doing, Samuel?
I'm doing great, Hugh. And yourself?
I'm doing good, man. Speaking of the Lions, Hutch, since his performance Saturday against the Buckeyes, he now has moved to the top of every mock draft. Lions are sitting there. There's no way they're going to blow the overall number one pick. He has to be their selection. You got the Michigan connection. You got the guy everybody knows. That's a no-brainer.
You would think, Vance, I was about to call you Vance. I got done doing my film breakdown with Vance Befford. You would think, Hughes, that would be the case, but there seems to be this aversion to draft the Michigan guys. I don't know what it is, but they had a chance at Lamar Woodley. They had a chance at David Harris. They had a chance at Brian Greasy. They had a chance at Devin Bush a couple years ago. They passed on all those guys. So I don't necessarily think it's a foregone conclusion. It should be. As I said, I've been saying for weeks that Aiden Hutchinson is a more complete player than Kayvon Thibodeau, who I've been watching since he was in high school. He's an excellent pass rusher. But if you're going to run at Kayvon Thibodeau and you're going to run at Aiden Hutchinson, I know who I'm taking. I don't know about you, Hughes, but I know who I want, you know, defending the run between those two. So to me, this is if he lives up to his billing. His dad said he was Bosa like a couple years ago, and all the Buckeyes came out and they were all over him. He's looking like that. You know who he looks like to me? At least the college version. He's playing like a college version of J.J. Watt. Now, I don't know if he's going to be able to be like that in the pros, but right now, that's how he's playing for Michigan.
Knowing the Lions, they'll intend on drafting Aiden Hutchinson out of Michigan, but they'll actually take Joey Hutchinson. They put in the wrong name from Wright State.
You're right. Hey, man, I love my Lions, though.
So do I, but they'll be going like, hey, welcome back to Draft Central, and the pick is in. Overall, number one, the Lions are going with Joey Hutchinson from Wright State. I didn't know they had a football program. And Joey actually is 5'6", 303 pounds.
See, man, it's a damn shame. It's huge. I got a vintage Barry Sanders jersey in my closet. One side is white. One side is Honolulu blue. I have the throwback Barry Sanders jersey. I have the Megatron jersey. I even have a Matthew Stafford jersey. I love the Lions. I can't. I'm loyal to a fault, man.
I'm surprised your Stafford jersey hasn't been picked off and returned to you.
We're learning a lot about old man.
We watched a lot of Lions starts where it looked like that was going to be the year, and let Stafford and the Rams collapse, because that pick will be even bigger, where the Lions might be able to get Hutch and get a quarterback if that pick could get up there into the low teens.
Yeah, that's a great point. Great point, Hughes.
Why not? All right, let's get to the game. Things you've seen on that campus since you've been in Ann Arbor, has there been anything bigger than what you witnessed? Not just the final score, but the celebration, the emotion from every single person who was there, the Michigan Nation, as Harbaugh told the team afterwards, this is for everybody. Have you seen anything like it, Sam?
No. '03 was big. Make no mistake. You know, Michigan, what they did to Ohio State that year, Braylon Edwards had a magnificent game. Chris Perry was outstanding. That was a tremendous victory. But Michigan, at that point, was used to beating Ohio State, right? So I'm not saying that didn't mean anything. Definitely not diminishing the importance of that game, especially to all the great players that were on that team. But it's different, Hughes, because Ohio State had been destroying Michigan. They were 17-3 this century. I mean, they had won 8 straight. This was, and the last two, they had won like 2000-3. I mean, it was to get this victory against the team that eviscerated Michigan State. You know what people were saying coming out of that game? Michigan has no chance of staying within 3 touchdowns of Ohio State after watching what they did to Michigan State. But as I told you when I was on here last week, styles make fights. And second of all, that Michigan State's defense is just terrible. There's not a worse pass defense in the country than what Michigan State trots out there. So that is style make fights, right? They ran into the best pass offense in the country. But with Michigan, you had two things that are important to limiting that Ohio State attack. Number one, you have a running game that has a passing element that you have to respect, and a bull in the game as a running back in Hassan Haskins. And then defensively, you got to stop. You got to be able to protect your quarterback. And they could not protect their quarterback. Hughes went through the tape, watched it three times now. 15 times they moved C.J. Stroud off his spot. 15 other times they rushed his throw. 15 other pressures came from Aiden Hutchinson alone. I give them credit. They still scored 27 points. But that's a quarterback under duress. That is a recipe for what we saw Michigan do to Ohio State on Saturday.
Sam Webb from our affiliate AM 1050 WTK in Ann Arbor, part of the Michigan Insiders weekday mornings at 6 a.m. with Ira and the crew. The Huge Show airs tape delayed basis in Ann Arbor weeknights at 6 p.m. on AM 1050. Talking about Michigan, so they take care of business with Ohio State. You get through the emotion. You turn your attention to Iowa. Here's a 10-2 team, top three defense in the Big Ten, bottom two offense. Michigan on the DraftKings Sportsbook app big board, now up to an 11.5-point favorite. What happened Saturday night in Indy?
Yeah, man, as long as Michigan is focused on that team, they've put the euphoria of beating Ohio State behind them, they'll handle Iowa. Problem is, man, I mean, they're human, right? I was talking to Ryan English today, who's coaching at Purdue. He's in town recruiting. He dropped by, and he said, man, we beat Iowa. He said, now, why did we beat Iowa? They were number two in the country at the time, but they were number two in the country coming off of beating Penn State, right? So they were still high off of beating Penn State. So there's this effect that happens when you beat a team that people think you shouldn't be able to beat. And all of a sudden, you're thinking about that, still stuck in that moment, not focused on the team that you're playing, and they rise up and beat you. So that's what Michigan has to be, you know, leery of. As long as they're focused on Iowa, Iowa does not have the offense. I mean, they're challenged at the quarterback position. They have trouble with at their tackle spot protecting their quarterback. They run the football pretty decently, but they're injured on defense. This is a game that Michigan should win comfortably. I think they would settle for just a win. I don't know that it'll be a comfortable one, Huge, because, like I said, the emotion of it is bound to impact Michigan on some level. So I think they'll win. I just don't know that it'll be by the margin that everyone is predicting, strictly because of the layover effect from the victory over Ohio State.
And the one thing that's different than your typical regular season game, like you mentioned, Iowa being flat against Purdue, that there's a lot on the line Saturday night. Okay, there is a lot on the line. Not only the Big Ten championship, it's been what, since 2003, is that correct?
Yeah, man.
Wow.
Yep.
Man, 18 years. Damn. There are kids who are Michigan fans who have never seen a championship. Poor kids. We should do a holiday fundraiser for them. But then Michigan should win on Saturday. So you have the Big Ten trophy, and you know, all those players know, all the coaches know, everybody connected to Michigan football, athletic department, they know there's no debate whether you win 3-2, like I said earlier, on a late field goal and an Iowa safety. You win, you are in the Final Four in college football.
Yeah, man, this is and here's the irony, man, that you look back at it, and Iowa was probably the team, I think I said this last week, that kept them out of it, right? They lose to Iowa a couple of weeks before they play Ohio State in 2016. If they don't lose that game to Iowa, or at least don't get Wilton Spate hurt in that game, and they go and they either beat Ohio State or they lose a nail biter having beaten Iowa, they still make the playoffs. So Iowa is a team that that can get in the way. As long as they don't, this is what Jim Harbaugh, this is where he should have been in 2016. And the narrative is suddenly different. People are talking a lot different. Yeah, they're saying he finally beat Ohio State, but he's still not getting his due. You can look at the fact that Mel Tucker gets the coach of the year over Jim Harbaugh, which I think is a farce. I think it's a farce. When you get beat 56-7, you shouldn't be the coach of the year.
Amen.
That just shouldn't happen. So, but his name is Jim Harbaugh, right? You know, they're supposed, even though they were 2-4 last year, they're supposed to be here. No one was saying they could beat Ohio State, but they're supposed to upset Ohio State, right? So he doesn't get that award. The narrative is different if he wins this Big Ten championship. I think some of the respect that he's due will finally come at that point. And I tell you what else, Huge, they make the playoffs this year, they have a shot. I mean, you look around the country, there's some good teams, but this is not the vintage Bama team. And as good as Georgia is on defense, they are world beaters on offense. They would have a shot to win a national championship. So just take care of your business on Saturday. You got a month to get Blake Corum healed up. You got a month to get over the euphoria of winning the Big Ten title. You got a month to prepare for whoever it is you're going to face. It could happen huge, but you got to take care of the business that's in front of you first.
Yeah, so they take care of Iowa, and it tells you in college football that Notre Dame could lose at home to Cincinnati, and if a couple teams lose in front of them, they could end up without a head coach who now is at LSU, an interim coach, and be in the college football playoff. And I agree, Georgia's defense, best in the country. They look like an NFL defense. Offense can have its moments. Alabama, you watch, they still have the athletes to find a way to get it to overtime against Auburn. They haven't looked good against some teams this year. This is the year. Timing's everything, man. If Michigan beats Iowa, they get that preparation time, and you could end up as the 2 seed, so playing the 3 seed, and you would get Georgia versus 4. Still a lot of work on Saturday. It's going to be awesome. Sam Webb and the Michigan Insiders, man, they are all over Michigan-Iowa tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. on AM 1050 WTKA in Ann Arbor. Sam, it's an awesome week, awesome couple of weeks, awesome season. Amazing fall for college football. Ann Arbor, Michigan State, and the Big Ten. And can't wait to see the game Saturday night. Have a good trip to Indy, my friend.
All right, huge. Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.